To see you all here this morning. We've got a great man to minister the word this morning. And I'm going to invite him up to minister the word of God. So come on, Cornell. Let's just give him a welcome to the pulpit this morning.
Pray. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Before I start, I'll pray. Father, I just pray that you bring out of me that which you've put in me, Father. Anoint me by your Spirit and speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, it would appear God wants to talk about wineskins. Wineskins. My sermon is titled Wineskins, believe it or not. That's always good, yeah. Yeah. All right. So before I begin, I'll read the text. It's a wineskin text. Everyone knows it. Luke 5, want to follow, verses 37, 39. I'm just reading it from here because the font is bigger because I didn't bring my Bible. My eyes are good, though, I assure you. So I'll give you a minute. All right. All right, Luke chapter 5, verses 37 and 39. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst, the wineskins will be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put in new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires the new, for he says, the old is better. So we're all dead in our trespasses, and I'd like to think that we're all here born again. When we're born again, God gives us a new wineskin. Now, before I go into and unpack what God gave, incidentally, whilst on a walk with my wife, and my wife was telling me what she was preaching about. I just want to obviously address the obvious context. So the obvious context is, you know, Jesus basically saying, you know, you can't be a Jew and a Christian, otherwise you burst. I've seen that firsthand. You do indeed burst if you try and be a Christian whilst being a Jew simultaneously. I've seen it firsthand and have to wipe the, you know, wine off my shirt, having seen the burstings. So once we get born again, there's this analogy where we're in wineskins. Now, just by way of background, so you understand what a wineskin was. So back in the day, it was a throwaway society, so you use everything as many times as you could possibly use it. So you'd kill a lamb or a sheep or whatever. You'd shear all off. You'd be very, very careful to skin it, making sure you don't puncture the skin. And then, you know, typically it'll get sewn up, you know, all the legs and everything, and then you'd turn it inside out, and then you'd fill it with new wine. And the idea is because it was, you know, fresh and raw and flexible, when you'd put the new, which was basically grape juice, really, there was a fermentation process gets created when the yeast, which is usually that powder you see on the grape, feeds on the sugar inside the grape and gives off carbon dioxide. So therefore, it expands as that fermentation ends. So, you know, Jesus gave us his analogy where when we become born again, God does something in our lives, right? So he pours this new wine in our lives, and the purpose of this new wine is indeed to help us grow. And I was thinking of an analogy that best fits that, and the analogy that came to me was when you become pregnant as a lady. So, you know, when you become pregnant as a lady, there's an inevitability, really. Like, it's small and it might not be much, but it's growing and it's coming out. And you know you're going to be stretched, you know you're going to go. But there's this life inside of you that God's growing and you can't stop that. And I think that's one of the strongest thing with the wineskin is that when God puts a new wine in you, there's an inevitability about it, right? Because you don't stop that fermentation process once it started. It'll just happen. And the purpose of that is for our increase, is for us to have a greater capacity to serve the things of God and a greater capacity to do the things of God. And there's not much we can do to stop that. And that's when you increase. You know, every woman will tell you that. Pregnancy is not comfortable, obviously, having seen my wife go through it twice. And ergo, as Christians, that uncomfortability, it's not a bad thing. It's just a sign that you're increasing. You know, He's put this new thing inside of you. And the new thing inside of you has two purposes, right? One purpose is that it's to give out. Because obviously, the point of the wine is that other people drink it. So the point of Christianity is we're giving out of ourselves. We're giving out ourselves to the people. But simultaneously, it does something else, right? It makes us grow. It increases our capacity as a Christian. And we find ourselves, you know, more able to, represent God more accurately. And the words roll off my tongue quite easily, but the older I get as a Christian, the more I feel that it's the point to represent God more accurately. Now, as we mature and we expand, that thing within inside of us, that wine, becomes more valuable. So, you know, value is when we can, you know, let's put those days. New wine's great because you can pour it and store it, but because it hasn't stood the test of time and hasn't matured and hasn't fermented, it doesn't have that value of the old wine. And it does say, you know, the old is better. And I'll talk about that more later on in my sermon, but I just wanted to make the point first that the old is indeed better, that wine. Now, one of the dangers we have as Christians is we have our wineskin and it grows. It gets to a point, and it was touched on with the communion image, is if the fermentation process, if the conditions aren't right for that wineskin, you come up with vinegar, right? And quite often, as Christians, we can find ourselves that, you know, when we're giving out of ourselves, instead of being something sweet and to be desired, it's bitter and repulsive. And it's what people expect. And if we look within ourselves and can tell whether what we have within ourselves is wine or vinegar, usually by the reaction we get from the people we talk to. You see someone, if they're expecting wine and they get vinegar, like, this is off. You know, this isn't right. And the effect we have as Christians on other people can often tell us what's inside of us, can often tell us if that good thing that God's done inside of us is perhaps not what it should be. And that's where it's important to reflect. And there's two ways that this can happen. The first is if the wine isn't poured out. If you're leaving the wine in the wineskin for too long, it goes off, right? And we do sometimes as Christians, we can be guilty of, you know, sitting on a pew and we're not doing anything wrong, but we're just not doing anything right either. And we never challenge ourselves. We never pour out of ourselves. In fact, some might call us undercover Christians. We go in our workplace and no one tell we're a Christian, but we go to church every Sunday. And, you know, we think that, you know, somehow that defies us. But really what's happened is that thing inside of us has gone stale. Guys, if we don't give out, it does become stale. It doesn't work to be a Christian that never gives out. It doesn't work to be a Christian when no one knows you're a Christian. What's the point? What's the point? And that's why it's important. Give out of yourselves. People should know that you're a Christian because when they come around you, they've tasted of that good wine. And if they haven't tasted the good wine, you haven't even offered it. Just, you know, be mindful. Maybe start giving out of yourself and see if what's coming out of you is bitter or if it's sweet. Now, the other danger, of course, and this happens, and I found in my mind when God gave me this sort of, and it's a simple revelation, right, the wineskin, and anyone can sort of figure it out. But to me, there were some real profound things from it, and that's, we have this inside out lambskin or sheep's, whatever it is. Its capacity to increase is really determined on the effort you put in to maintain the outside skin. Like, I don't know if any of you have had like a leather boots or something. I remember when I was young, right, the first pair of leather boots I had, you look after them, right, because they're your first pair, and you polish them and you clean them, and they tend to outlast the sole of the foot. Like, you wear through them before you wear through the leather. But then you get older and, you know, I've had leather boots, you go to work, and, you know, you have a purpose, you don't really care for them. They get muddy, they get dry, and da-da-da, and then before you know it, the leather's all cracked up, but you tend to get max 6 months out of it, and that's it. And it's not because the leather of these boots are worse than the leather of those boots. It's that one was looked after and one was not. And as Christians, it's very rare to have a Christian that you can say hasn't stuffed up. Right. I'm not saying they don't exist. I don't think they exist. Maybe some of you amongst you think you've never stuffed up. But generally, we've stuffed up, right? We get dirt on our wineskins, right? And every time we get dirt on our wineskins, or even more so than that, you know, you drop your wineskin in the mud. And I mean, you make a ripe old mess of it. And there's a lot of examples of that in the Bible. And also people that we know. We know of, you know, especially this prevalent in the 80s and 90s, where there was these mega preachers, if you will, where they were well known and everyone sort of hold them in high esteem, and then they stuffed up, right? And when you stuff up and you drop your wineskin in the mud, right, especially when you're a public figure, the Bible says, you know, let not many of you become teachers, because we know who teach receives a stricter punishment. And, you know, when you're representing God on a mass scale, God expects more from him who's given much, much is written. Now, if you are one of those that God has really enlarged your wineskin and he's using you greatly, and you happen to drag that thing through the mud, sometimes you can permanently impede your capacity to grow from there. Like if you get a pair of old boots, you fill them with mud and they dry up, it's very, you remove a lot of life from that thing. And we have examples of that as well, Bible, that I wanted to talk about. So, for example, we know the story of Moses. You know, he brought the Israelites through the wilderness, and then they get to the first time when they're thirsty, and, oh, we're thirsty, we're dying, you know, help us. And then Moses, you know, goes to God, oh, God, what am I going to do? And God says, hey, you strike the rock and it's going to give water. So he strikes the rock and it gives water, right? And they all drink and they have life. They get life from the rock, you know, the rock being Jesus, symbolistically. So similar thing happens not too far down the track. And, you know, this time God says to Moses, hey, speak to the rock, and the rock will give life, right, or give water. And Moses, you know, misrepresents God, because that's what he did. And he gives the impression to the children of Israel that God's upset with them because they're asking for water. God wasn't upset. God knew they were thirsty, right? You know, like, God knows us. He knows we're thirsty. So Moses goes and hits the rock a second time, and God says, hey, because you've done that, you're not entering the promised land. And it seems harsh, right? Something that's probably so trivial. But in order for God to, like, God was working on this symbolism for a long time. Moses just stuffs it up for flippantly doing something. He didn't think it through. And that moment of inattention cost him his going into the promised land. Now, we as Christians, I'll bring one more analogy, and I'll talk about this later. Children of Israel, right? We know they're in the wilderness with Moses, and 12 spies go out, and you know, 2 good report, 10 bad report. You know the story. I won't waste time talking about it. And the children of Israelites decide to accept the report of the 10 bad spies, right? So then God says, hey, because you've done that, you know, none of you is going to enter the promised land. You know, they later change their mind and say, oh, God, we're sorry. You know, we want to go do your will now. And God says, no, it's too late. You can't. You're stuffed up. And they still went to the promised land and they got slaughtered. And God killed a few of them right there and then. And they end up all dying in the wilderness. Now, the point I'm trying to say is, look, as Christians, right, there are some things that God has in our life that are timed, right? Like, they really are. And there's some things that God wants to do in your life that are potentially huge, like massive, world-changing type stuff. And if we don't have our wits about it, you know, the Bible says be ready in season and out of season. There's a reason for it, because you never know if that one life-changing moment, and that might be it. Like, yes, it might, but it might be it. And there's examples in the Bible where that was it. And if that moment passes you by, it mightn't come back, guys. And you may have permanently reduced your capacity to serve God. Just like when you drop that wineskin in the mud, you know, you permanently may reduce capacity to expand after that. It's not that God can't use you, but not to the extent that he would have wanted. Because of that, whether it's sin or whether it's... And it's not even sin, because if you look at, you know, what Moses did, it was just a lapse of thought. It was just frustration, really. Like, if he was just frustrated. It's like, come on, guys. Like, you know, you've seen the stuff that God did to Moses. All the plagues, and you guys were fine. We took you through the Red Sea, you know. He's given you bread from heaven. Like, come on. It's, you know, like, don't you trust God? So he was just frustrated, which can happen as Christians. But that's why it's important for us to keep short accounts of God. Because it might be that moment, that moment in time, that moment in space time that God has, you know, prepared in the earth because he wants to do something huge in your life. Huge. And you just walk it by. One person once said this funny thing to me, and I often thought about it. He goes, you know, God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. And the biggest hindrance to God's blessing is yourself. You keep getting in the way of God. God's trying to do things in your life. And you keep getting in the way, and God's like, oh. And then he's got to put all these circumstances together and, you know, align all the stars again. And then, okay, hopefully he gets it this time. Screw it up again. And it's not, again, it's not that you've lost your salvation, because if you read what the Bible says, you know, Moses obviously is saved. And actually, in fact, it says that the children of Israel were redeemed. Now, they were saved. They didn't see the promises, and there was so much more God could have done in their lives, but they were saved. So it's what God can do in you. Now, if you do find yourself that you're stuffed up, which I'm assuming we all have at one point or another, we have the washing of the water of the Word of God to wash our wineskins, right? So we have a solution. We can repent. You know, we can ask God to forgiveness, and God, you know, Bible says God is good and able to forgive you. Now, we all know that, you know, when you do wash raw leather with water, it cleans it, right? It cleans it, but then, you know, it dries. So one of the dangers is that we can often get into a mindset, right, where you get some people and they're readers, and you get some people where they're prayers, right? So the prayers are akin to the, you know, the Spirit of God, the anointing, because of course, if you just wash leather without oiling it afterwards, it just dries, right? It cracks up. It's almost worse. It's, you know, yes, it looks clean, but you become and rigid and unapproachable and, you know, hard to talk to as Christians. And that can happen a lot, right, when we think we're self-righteous because we read the Word of God all the time and know what it says, but we have no relationship with God. You know, there's no Spirit in us, but, you know, our wines are thoroughly cleaned. And if anyone sort of challenges us, we can show, you know, we can quote all the scriptures. Realistically, always we're presenting it's not that the thing inside of you is not of value, because it is. But it's so much less than what it could be. And that's the point. It's so much less, you know, than what God wants to do in your life. Now, if you do find yourself that, you know, you've perhaps, you feel that missed opportunities have come and missed opportunities have gone. And I remember hearing there was a survey of a people's village, and the question they asked is if they were to be able to have a do-over on life, what's the one they'd change? And the most common answer was that they'd take more risks. So apparently, I'm not advocating, obviously, but apparently one of the things, the main thing that old people seem to regret is not taking enough risks. And I think that's to do with what we discussed before when you got the divine blessings. But I want to say this, and this is really, really important, guys. if you've, you know, made a right pass of your wineskin and you feel like you're at a certain age and you feel like, man, I could have done so much more of my life and I've done this, you know, I could have done so much, you know, I've been someone in with God. Don't fret. The Bible says that the old is better. You still have something within you. You know, the children of Israel, even though they rebelled against God and God said, hey, you are not coming into the promised land. Or Moses, even though he struck the rock the second time, God still used them. The children of Israel, they fought armies. You know, they helped build the Ark of Covenant. They helped, they laid the groundwork for their children to inherit. You know, Moses, despite the fact that he forfeited his right to go in the promised land, yeah, he wrote the law. He communed with God. You know, you might not be able to do everything that you would have liked to do because you've maybe screwed up in some way, but you're still valuable. And what you can do is you can lay the groundwork for your children. There's value in you. That old wine is better. It's valuable. And when you pour that out, when you pour old wine, God pours old wine back in. That valuable wine, that experience as a Christian, that you can't put a price for that. You see, I was once a young Christian, believe it or not. I probably still am, you know, others. But what I know now and what I knew before, like, I have a very trivial understanding of things if I was to compare what I know now and what I know before. And believe me, when I was young, I thought I knew stuff. I thought I was pretty smart. I thought I knew the Bible pretty well. Like, I started reading the Bible at a young age. But really, it was new wine. This is like a dime a dozen knowledge, right? And it's not that it isn't valuable. It's thirsty, right? It's better than dying. You drink some new wine, drink some grape juice. But it doesn't have that same value. And that's why I'm telling you guys, what you have within you is valuable. Don't keep it to yourselves. It'll turn stale. It'll become vinegar. You know what happened when they tried to give Jesus a mix of vinegar on the cross? He spat it out. He refused it. If we have that thing inside of us to turn to vinegar, it's useless. I mean, you can use it for pickling something, I guess. But, you know, it's so much less than what it could be, right? It's a real reduction in purpose. And that's what I want to say to you guys. And that my message is a simple one today, and that is this. What you have within you is immensely valuable. You withhold that, it'll go. Give it out. Let God be of use to you. Let God change you. Let God increase you. And guess what, guys? If we maintain our wineskin, like I said before, some people have a bent with the word, some people have a bent with prayer, but it's not the spirit or the letter. The spirit and the letter. I mean, if you have a wineskin full of mud and you throw oil on it, you know, like you represent, you know, as a Christian, you see people that, you know, as it were, filled with the spirit and they, you know, swear and do all, you know, like, guys, we're representing Christ. You know, we're supposed to be without spot and blemish. It's the letter and the spirit. It's the letter and the spirit. And if you apply the letter and the spirit, here's the thing, guys, right? Even if your wineskin is crusty, God can breathe new life into it, right? God can bring new life. And when there's something I love about God, he never gives us more than we can handle, right? The Bible promises, one of the promises of God. A lot of people make us suffer. But he never gives us more than we can handle, right? So if you that revelation and start to get back into your prayer life, get back into your word and start to maintain your wineskin, that wine back to life, God can breathe new life in that. He can make that wineskin pliable again. And you know what? Here's the thing, right? If God sees that you're pliable, he will do a new thing in your life. The only time he doesn't do a new thing is when he sees that, I can't put new wine in there, it's going to burst. I promised I won't give them more than they can bear. It's not that God doesn't want to do that new thing in your life. He doesn't want to destroy you. And that new thing expands you. It gives you growth. If you can't handle the growth, he's not going to give it to you. So you're never too old to do great things for God. You're never too old to expanding. You're never too old. You haven't run your race. And the only person who ever said that was Paul. I finished Old Testament and had converted half the known world. You know, he said he'd run his race because he was sort of, you know, for execution. You know, like, we haven't run our race. It's not over for us. You know, while there's breath, there's life and there's hope. So, guys, I'll get you all to stand up if you would. Now, I want to pray. And regardless whether we're old, crusty wineskins or whether we're, you know, well-oiled, well-cleaned wineskins, guys, God can clean your wineskin. God can oil it if you ask him to. If you get into your word, if you get into prayer, get to know God personally, go back to those new things, guys, or those old things maybe, I suppose. You know, get back into your word, get back into prayer. God can your life again. He can make you flexible. He can make you pliable. When you become flexible and pliable, he can pour a new wine into you. He can pour a new wine into you, and he can make you grow again. It's not too late, guys. And even if you do feel too late, guys, you have a responsibility before God to lay the groundwork for your kids. Fight those wars for them. You know, defeat those demons for them. You know, fight those foreign armies. You know, you can make sure that your kids walk inheritance. You can make sure that your kids have those things that you do. You can make sure your kids don't make the mistakes that you did. It's not too late for you. It's never too late for you. So I'm going to pray. Father, I just pray for each and everyone here, Father. Lord, give us a revelation, Father, that regardless of where we're at, Father, regardless of our state, my God, firstly, Lord, you can do a new thing in us. If we turn to you, Father, if we turn to you, read your word, get a relationship with you, pray with you, allow the Holy Spirit to oil our wineskin, that you can make us grow. You can do a new thing, Father. And Lord, even for those that, Lord, feel that maybe they've permanently decreased their capacity, Father, let them get a revelation. No, they have a responsibility. They can lay the groundwork for their kids. They can fight the battles for their kids. They can, you know, be used mightily still to make sure that, hey, even if I can't do it, my kids can do it. You know, it's for the posterity, that it's for a good future and a good hope that you work. It's never too late. There's always work to be done. There's always a pouring out, Father. So, Father, you'll give us a revelation, Father, not to become tired, not to become lazy, Father, not to isolate ourselves, walk away from church and become bitter and vinegary and repulsive to other people, Father, but to stay in fellowship, Father, to grow, Lord God, and to know, Father, and have a revelation that that old wine is better, Father. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if anyone feels that needs prayer, you know, come up the front, we'll open up the altar, and, you know, glory be to God, and, you know, for everyone else, we'll have 10 coffees after the service. Thank you.